Hi, everybody. How we doing? I tell you, I would come to this church. What a healthy environment, such life, such love, such class. And man, this music, are you kidding me? This worship team, Jay Leno, eat your heart out. Jimmy Fallon, let's get updated, right? It's fantastic. So healthy, so vibrant. And I love your pastors with all of my heart. And love those PKs, Shayla and Megan, who will be here next service, and Taylor back there making things happening. And just feel very honored to be here. Now this morning, I'm going to talk to you about one of the pillars of this church, about worship, and I hope to share with you some revelation that is fresh and new that will help you continue to build on such a fantastic foundation. So open your Bibles anywhere. I'm going to cover it all. No. Go to Revelation, the 19th chapter. Revelation, the 19th chapter. Now, while you're getting there, thank you, my brother. Is that holy? I want to make sure it's... Thank you. I want to say, honestly, what a great joy it is to be here. And on behalf of Joel and Victoria Osteen, of which we are working together, and I just want to encourage you, starting this month, Pastor Joel will be putting on television our Find a Church site. So he will begin, when he says get in a good Bible-based church, he's going to begin on television to promote the Find a Church, which means they'll be coming to this church, I believe, by the dozens. Yeah. Every week. And I couldn't be more proud for them to walk into this door, into this church. And let's believe God. We have seen 1 million families connected to our champion churches in the last 8 years. And I believe that's going to happen double in the next year. So you better get ready for a bunch of brand new, beautiful people that are going to come walking into this house. And they're going to feel just like you. So much love. And it's just absolutely wonderful. Also, TBN, of course, loves you all. Thank you for your faithful support. Matt and Lori are doing a wonderful job taking over the next generation. Keep them in prayer, and it'll be great. By the way, tomorrow night, I'm doing a show on Hacksaw Ridge, the movie that hopefully will get an Oscar tonight. It's a faith-based film that's fantastic. I interviewed Mel Gibson, Andrew Garfield, all of the actors, and then his son, Desmond Jr., the son. Powerful program. It'll be on tomorrow night at 7. Watch it. You'll be blessed. Well, we love you today. What a great presence of God. I have my dear friends with me that were part of our Life Church ministry for years, Rudy and Julie Prendez. I'm glad they're here. So let's talk about this thing called worship. Before I give you the text, I want to just share something personal. I was raised in church all of my life. That's all I've ever known for 60 years. I've been going to church at least 4 or 5 times a week. The first 16 years by force. I mean, you know, when you know, if I had a drug problem, exactly. I was drugged to church, and but I had an incredible experience that happened to me when I was 14 years old, and I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit when I was 9 years old. But as you grow, you know, you get your heart, it's kind of like your heart gets larger and more mature, and you have to constantly be refilled to fill up that void. And so I had my moments of drifting, but I was 14 years old, and I was playing the drums in my father's church, and I, up until that point, I had raised my hands because everybody else was doing it, and I did what everybody else was doing in what was a Pentecostal charismatic type church, but on this particular night, I came into a personal experience of worship. I'll never forget it. I don't remember the song, and I'd always been raising my hands. I always did the motion, but while I was playing the drums It's like the veil opened up and I entered in to this place that I called the world of worship. And when I did, I ended up standing up playing the drums, which this was, we're talking now, we're talking 35 years ago, 40 years ago, actually 45 years ago. So I stood up, and while I was playing, began to worship God and came into this beautiful experience of worship. It changed my life. And since then, I have been addicted to worship and loving what worship is all about. It's more than just singing. It's more than just taking up time while we wait for everybody to get here. Although, I want to compliment this church on just the energy that was here at 8:30 when I got here. All of the faithful volunteers that were here. I mean, typically, the loneliest time of church is about 15 minutes before the service. Nobody usually is here. But not here. This is amazing. But I learned what worship is. And since that time, I've been on a passionate quest to understand worship. So having said that today, this is very personal to me. What I hope today is that whether you're 9 years old, 14 years old, or you are 60 years old or older, that today you will come into a fresh understanding of worship. Worship is the most wonderful gift that we have. We must understand something, that worship is an opportunity that we have to be in the presence of God. This is really something we must once in a while reflect upon. Because remember, the Bible says of Moses, who we know went to Mount Sinai, that he saw the hand of God write the Ten Commandments. He had such of the presence of God upon him that his face was reflecting, glowing. And yet he put a veil over his face because it was so amazing. And yet the Bible tells us that when you and I worship and do what we're doing here today, that it's so much more glorious that it's not even worthy to be compared. In other words, Moses, you had nothing compared to what we've just had access to. And we need to be reminded of that. We need to be reminded that in the Old Testament, that only one person once a year, it was a priest, could enter into the holy presence of God. Think about that. Once a year, one person could enter into the holy place and actually experience what you and I casually walked into today. And so it's important that we understand that worship is an incredible gift. That we walked in here today, and because we have a high priest, Jesus Christ, who has been making intercessions for us all night long, so that when we woke up this morning, his mercies were new. We woke up like a little baby with innocence and purity. We were able to walk in this place today boldly into the presence of God, in spite of the fact that we have not been perfect. In spite of the fact that we have done things wrong. In spite of the fact there are things we should have been doing that we didn't do. I mean, you know, there's two kinds of sins. The sins of commission, what we do wrong, and the sins of omission, what we should have did and we didn't do. And that's enough to just make you feel so heavy and condemned that, my Lord, we ought to have 5 hours of church just to confess. But because we have a high priest who is always making intercessions for us, we can walk in here, regardless of our activity, and come in here and act like priests that can come into the Holy of Holies. Worship is that place. The disciples were envious of Jesus because when he would do works, they would say, "How do you do this?" And he says, "I'm not doing it. It's the Father doing it in me." Or when he would say incredible words, they would say, "Where are you getting this stuff from?" And he would say, "I'm not saying these things, but it's the Father that's saying it with me." And they would watch him as he would come back from maybe out of the woods or out of a quiet place. Because early in the morning, he would rise up out of bed and he would go into his time of prayer. And when he would come back, he would have this reflection of God's presence. And they would say, "Jesus, you reveal and you manifest God's presence. And you keep talking about the Father and about the works and the words that you do." And Jesus said, "Look, I'm going to go away." "Oh, no, please don't go away." "Oh, it's good that I'm going to go away. because I'm going to prepare a place for you. Now, I know we think about heaven when I say this, but can I just make it go a little bit farther than that this morning? So he said, I'm going to go prepare a place for you that where I am, you see, I'm with the Father every day. And the Father's talking to me, and the Father's given me strength, and he's given me the ability to do the works of God and speak the words of God. And so I'm going to prepare a place for you that where I am, you may be also. He called it a place. It was the right word to use, because if you go back in the Old Testament, you'll see that the holies of holies, you know, God lived in a box back in the Old Testament. Yeah, God in a box. You thought Jack in the Box was original. You see, God lived in a thing called the ark, or the Hebrew word is box. And God's manifested presence was in the Ark of the Covenant. It was in the box. And that's where that one priest could go once a year. And in that holy place, he could have access to God's presence. And what Jesus was saying is I'm going to prepare a place, that place that one man once a year could go into. I'm going to prepare a place that where I am, you may be also. And friends, he was talking about getting access to the presence of God through worship. You see, worship is the economy of God. Nothing that God does comes from heaven to earth, or what we give and our petitions from earth to heaven happen without the economy of worship. Worship is where the exchange takes place. When you worship, all that heaven is accessible to you. You can go to McDonald's today and you can beg them for a cheeseburger. You can tell them you'll clean the bathrooms for a cheeseburger. You can do all of that, but that's not what they're looking for. They're looking for that cash or that plastic card. And worship is that connection that we have with God. That's why it's important that you learn to worship, that you understand worship. It is the economy of God. The only gap between heaven and earth is worship. The more you understand worship, the more you have access to heaven. If I had a title for today's talk, I would call it, Heaven Help Us. Because you see, heaven is more than just a place that we're all going to. Heaven is more than just a place to where your children, your father, your mother, your relatives are already there. It's more than a place. Heaven is also a presence. Heaven is also a reflection of God's presence. And when you understand that through worship, you can actually be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You can have access to all that God is and all that God has. So when you learn to worship. So in having said that, let's read a few scriptures and I'll tell you a few stories. And then I'm going to release a blessing of worship upon you. When you leave here today, you will leave with a new mantle, a new revelation, a fresh access to the presence of God through worship. Does that sound good? So in Revelation 19, 10 and 11, the Bible is telling us that I got to be careful because of my time, but the context here is that John is being shown and given access to the things of God. He is seeing how things operate in a whole nother world beyond what we're seeing with our eyes. Look at me, everybody. Can I tell you that what you see right now and what your five senses can detect and discern and recognize is only really part of what's really going on. John was able to see beyond the veil. In fact, the Bible says that the heavens is his throne and the earth is his footstool. So I want you, if that's the case, and by the way, that scripture is the most quoted scripture in the whole Bible. 17 times it's mentioned that in part or in whole, that say with me, heaven is his throne. And earth is his footstool. Now, footstool just simply means that's where he put his foot down. but it's not just a picture. It's not just literal. It's figurative of wherever God puts his foot down is where his authority is. Amen. It's where he's, how many's ever heard somebody say, I'm putting my foot down. That means I'm putting my authority on this. So if heaven is his throne, follow me now, and the earth is his footstool, what I want you to be aware of is that you and I are now in the presence of God. You are actually in what I call the throne zone. And in that throne zone, everything that God is, you have access to if you can somehow get past the veil of your five senses and realize, though it sounds mystical, it's not weird, there's something else going on beyond the veil of what your eyes can see. And this is what I want to entice you in today. I want to intrigue you to not look at life just through the lenses of your five senses, but to understand that you are a spirit. Everybody say with me, I am a spirit.
I am a spirit.
I know that sounds a little weird, but you are a spirit. That's really who you are. This is not who you are. This right here, in fact, science tells us that every 7 years, our cells are being renewed and dying and then being renewed, so that every 7 years, there's not one tangible part of you that existed 7 years ago. So this is not you, because in 7 years from now, and the funny thing about it is you're getting millions of cells are being renewed in your body while I'm talking, and millions of cells are dying while I'm talking. The funny thing is that the new cells are old. In other words, as you get older, those cells that you have, this body that came from the dust, every day it wants to go back there. So you start out like this at 30, and by the time you get 60, you're here. And by the time you get 90, you're here. And you every day you got to fight that off and say, I'm not going down there yet. But what doesn't change is your spirit. This is who you are. This is what makes us valuable. Listen, this is what makes us valuable. Because we are spirit and we are made in God's image, this is why we are distinguished from all creation and even from animals. We are spirit. And this is important for us to recognize. It's important for us not to neglect it. It's important for us to recognize, watch this, that by being a spirit, we have something to give to God that he's looking for. Amen. Wow, did you hear what I just said? John tells us that the Father is seeking for something. And what is he seeking for? He's seeking for worship. But what kind of worship? Worship in spirit and in truth. You see, all of creation can praise God. Niagara Falls can praise God. The Grand Canyons can praise God. The great trees in Yosemite can praise God. But they cannot worship, because it takes a spirit to worship. That's why when mankind learns to understand that we are spirit and that we should be led by the Spirit and we should be dignified with the fact that, like God, who is a spirit, we have been made in his image. It is by that recognition and then knowing how to then, in fact, worship God with that spirit that gives us the dignity and separates us from a life that is subject to the superficial, subject to the temporal. But it gives us a sense of eternal dignity when we understand that we are spirit. Amen. I mean, kind of understand what I'm saying. And that's what we're feeling. So having said that, John is getting exposed to all of this whole world of what's going on, how God is operating behind everything that's being seen. There's something unseen that's happening. And John's kind of getting a revelation of Jesus Christ. And during this, he actually gets sidetracked and starts worshiping the angel that's explaining to him. And the angel says, oh, no, 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 no. Don't worship me. And now here's my text. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Now let me give you another scripture in Revelation. I don't know if I told you this last time I was here, but I'm a Revelation guy. Right? I love Revelation. In fact, I think it's the book that we have been hid from. Somehow religion is intimidated us from it. But any book called The Revelation of Jesus Christ ought to be a good book to read. Let's go to Revelation 4, 1 and 2. You'll love this. And after these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. Say with me, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Verse 2. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on that throne. Now watch me. This is a little mystical, but I'm going to bring it down to right where you're living. You see, heaven is accessible to us. We do not have to wait until we die to go to the place of heaven. Every time heaven is mentioned in the book of Revelation, it's always referring to it descending to us. It's coming down. There's never any scripture in Revelation that says we're going up there, though we are. Revelation through Jesus Christ is trying to say heaven is trying to get to us. The old song that the hippies used to sing, knock, knock, knocking on. Now I know who the hippies are. It really isn't knock, knock, knock on heaven's door. It's heaven knock, knock, knocking on your door. It's Jesus saying, knock, 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 let me bring some heaven into your world. How many know we got a lot of hell going on? A lot of hell in politics. A lot of hell in the economy. A lot of hell in family relationships. A lot of hell in addictions and evil and oppression. How many know that we need more heaven? How many know we need to get the hell out and the heaven in? That's a legal way of saying it. And heaven is waiting. This is what I learned at 14 years of age, that if I can learn to worship, that I can open up the heavens, and the heavens open up to me. Because heaven is not just a place, it's a person. Because when you're with Jesus and you're worshiping Jesus, you're actually in a heavenly connection through Christ, the high priest. But heaven is more than just a place. It's more than just a person. It's a presence. When you worship, the heavens open up to you, and the press essence of God comes upon you. And when you feel the press essence of God, then what happens is that God gives you not just the place that is your promise, not just the person that is your Savior, not just His presence that is His witness, but He gives you a perspective. Heaven is a perspective. If you can view life through the eternal lens of heaven, not only will it help you see through things, but it will help you see through things and help you see things through. Amen. Twitter that. See, what happens with most of us is that we're living life only through the five senses. And we lack this radar, this spiritual discernment that God will give us when we worship. You see, when you worship today, I'm trying to encourage you. You're not just raising your hands. You're not just singing. You're not just killing time. You're not just getting a little buzz of a, whoo, man, that feels good. When you worship, you're stepping into the person. You're stepping into the presence. You're stepping into a perspective. When one worships, in the Old Testament, whatever way you came into the tabernacle, you were commanded to go out another way. When one worships, you come in one way, discouraged, overcome, sick, oppressed. But when you worship, worship says we're not going out the same way we came in. Oftentimes when we worship, things are happening that we are not always aware of. And this is where we need to learn to trust what it means to worship. And today, it's not just the worship of, where is that watch that I'm looking at, clock? Where is it? It's where? On the podium. Okay, good. Let's see. Okay, all right. So we need to understand that when we worship, God is free to, through the economy of worship, do things of which in those moments of worship, we have no idea what God does. Through the book of Revelation, when God is judging false governments, when God is bringing down false economic systems, when God is exposing the images of the beast and the images of the enemy, which that's all they are, is images. Can I tell you, the devil is nothing more than a Macy's parade? And when you come to understand, the Bible says that while God exposes evil, what's the church doing? Always. They're not pointing their fingers and judging. They're not pointing their fingers and yelling curse of judgment on the people. The Bible says why they worship, God goes at work. Can I tell you, when you worship, God goes to work. While you lay down your effort, while you put down your striving, while you put down your heavy burden and worship God, God says, thank you very much. I'll take it from here. And when you get back in that car, things are not the same. That's the power of worship. When one worships, one connects with God in a way that is our greatest gift. Can I tell you, you are a worshiper? I don't have time to give you all the scriptures, but in Acts 17, or I can read to you the different passages of scripture, even out of John 4. When Jesus is talking to the woman at the well, there's something that he says. Listen very carefully. God acknowledges to the pagans. He acknowledges to the unbeliever. He acknowledges the people that are sinners, that they are worshipers. They just don't know who they're worshiping, and they don't know how, but they are worshipers. We are all worshipers. The challenge is who and what, and is it the right way? So worship is something that comes natural. Worship is that of which whatever we worship, we become like. Whatever we worship allows to influence and transform our lives. Worship. Worship. You were made to worship. Some people say, well, it's not my style. It's not my personality. I'm not really into that. Yeah, you are. You just forgot. In fact, when you die and go to heaven, you're going to be worshiping. Worship is such a beautiful lifestyle that it will take eternity to tap what is really in the world of worship. Somebody being, man, is worship going to be like a song service at church? I mean, I could handle that for like 1,000 years. And maybe for 10,000 years and we've just begun. But are you talking about forever? That's because you don't understand that when one worship connects you to God. When you connect to God, then God's world becomes your world. And today, I just want to entice you to allow heaven to get a little bit more engaged in your world. I love what the worship leader said. And man, great worship, great anointing. When you said, I heard it said this way, and this is what I felt you were saying, and you said it so well. God doesn't want to just be with you on Sunday morning. And I heard it this way. God doesn't want to be first in your life. God wants to be your life. You see, it's not God first on Sunday and then I'm going to go and live my whole life. No, it's God while you're listening to the baseball game. It's God while you're shopping. It's God while you're doing laundry. It's God. God doesn't want a wall to be compartmentalized and say, put me in this box. This is your God box. God says, down with the walls. Let's do life together. In Him we live and move and have our being. I love the story of the little 4-year-old boy that was sneaking into his baby sister's bedroom just 3 days from the hospital. And the mother thought, what is he doing? And the boy leaned up over to the baby crib and said to his 3-day-year-old sister, sis, tell me about God. I've almost forgotten. You see, the Bible says before you were in your mother's womb, God knew you. Somehow in ways I can't comprehend or explain, you have already been in the presence of God. You have just forgotten that you are your most and the best you when you are worshiping. You know that's true. If you walk through those doors and you break through the barriers of the temporal, of, oh, where's my money going to come from rent, and my back is aching, and my kids are in rebellion. If you can get past that and somehow let these people lead you into the press essence of God, that stuff lifts from you, and you come to that heavenly place where you worship, where you worship. And my heart is so full today because I feel God is just putting a fresh infusion of worship into this house. God is about to elevate this church. Get ready. I see land and buildings being brought to your feet. I see people saying, we don't know what to do with this land or this building. Yes, a church building, and we don't know what to do, and it's going to be laid at your feet. This church has created a beautiful matrix or a womb. This church has created a healthy environment. If you keep up what you're doing now and the progression from the last time I was here to now, even though I was impressed then, I'm seeing a progression of healthiness coming to healthiness. Is that a word? If not, I just made it up. Write it down. And when you're healthy, you don't attract in life what you want. You attract what you are. A lot of churches talk about growing and wanting to be big or wanting to reach their community. But if you're hurting inside, if there's no love, if there's no unity, then it's just a pipe dream. But when you can walk in a place like this, right, and feel the love of God's people, and then you cannot contain it in this building. You cannot contain it in these walls. And if I can just fuse in you a desire to take your worship just a little farther, just a little deeper, just a little more, you will engage heaven in your life like never before. That God will help you see things. One of the things about worship is it puts you in the presence of God. And one of the most fun and unique things about the presence of God is that God lives in the past and in the present and the future simultaneously. Amen. In fact, every time God is mentioned in Revelation, I know this sounds mysterious, but when I get done, you're going to need it tomorrow morning. Every time God is mentioned in Revelation, he's mentioned in three tenses: he who was, he who is, and he who is to come. And worshipers tap into that presence of God. In fact, the pattern of worship is based upon going to where God was, where he is, and where he's going. Can I help you here in closing? Can I help you? You see, worship begins, worship leader was doing it today. Worship begins with the pattern of enter his gates with, say, thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is finding God. Watch me now. Watch me. I've only shared this once before, so I'm paying attention to see if this makes sense to you. Are you ready? Just look at me. If it doesn't make sense, look at me like a deer in a headlight. But if it does, get ready for a revelation. Are you ready? The first thing you do to get into God's presence, the first thing you do to enter through the pattern of God's presence, is you go back and reflect and remember where God was. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You start out by saying, thank you, God, because I wouldn't have made it this week had you not been with me. You were with me Tuesday when that car pulled out in front of me and I put on the brakes and the car behind me swerved and instead of an accident, I was able to move in another lane. You were with me when I made my mortgage and I didn't think I was going to be able to. I want to thank you. And as you look where God was, that's where you begin your journey
to where he is. Because if you, I don't mean to be crude, but if you can't recognize what God has already done for you, you're not capable of handling what he wants to do to you now. You begin by saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. I got some issues, but before I get there, I want to thank you for what you've done. I want to thank you that maybe I don't know how I'm going to make rent, but I'm thanking you that I got a place that I'll be sleeping at tonight. Now, I don't know if I'll be there next month, but I want to thank you. And as you thank God, you fill your heart with thanks. You recognize that this is where God was. Then you move into praise. And as you begin to praise, God inhabits the praises of his people. God lives in praise. So if you want to know where God was, look back at what he's done. If you want to know where God is, begin to praise him. Because the minute you begin to praise him, you are now in the now. You are now in his presence. But listen to me very carefully. You worship, you praise God. Thanksgiving, he who was, praise he who is. Now when you worship, you go into the realm of where he's going to be. This is where it gets exciting. Huh? This is where God can take you. Your spirit, your mind can't comprehend. Your mind is checked out. It's like, can't come in. But your spirit is able to go into the future and discern and to recognize and to see things the way they are, so you can see through things, so you can see things through. Worship brings you into the prophetic realm, the realm where God says, let me show you things that are about to come. Now, let me tell you how it works practically. The way it works practically is that I got to close in 2 minutes. Oh, Jesus. Yes. I'll finish this in the next service. Watch. But watch. Here's the way it works. Here's the way it works. When you, I just did the math in my mind just now. I'm preaching all the time at different services and my mind is remembering. Okay? So, you're dating somebody. They look fantastic. You're thinking, this is the man. He opens the door for me in his nice car. He pays the bill at McDonald's. This could be the man of my dreams. But before you really fall in love with him, you're a worshiper, right? And so you decide to worship. And when you worship, you start by being thankful for what he's already done. And then you praise him for where he is in your work, in your life. And then you enter into that place to where your spirit now, your mind can help be thankful. And your praise can be your will and your emotion. But you can't worship until you worship in spirit. And when you do, you go to that place where you enter into a place where God is able to give you the instincts and the prophetic perception. And the next thing you know, you get a check in your spirit that says, this ain't right. And you're like, it's got to be right because he's good looking and he pays the bill and he's got a nice car. And if I let this man go, I may never have another man. But something inside of you while you're worshiping says there's something just not right. Well, your mind can't comprehend. God's not going to go through your mind to try to negotiate what's really going on. But the truth of the matter is that's not his car. It's his mother's. And I don't mean to condemn anybody, but and the couch that he's sleeping on is his mother's, because he's at his mother's. And that credit card is not his either. He hasn't been able to hold a job for a few years now. And though your eyes say this must be right, through worship you have a prophetic instinct that is telling you something's not right. Don't sign that contract. Something's not right. I get a check in my spirit. Worship leads you to a place of prophetic perspective. Prophetic power where God releases things, both to shut doors and to open doors. Place your hands over your heart. I had so much fun. I'm just now getting to point one. But now watch me.
Here's what you'll learn today. Here's what you'll take home today. Thank you, Mrs. When they come, that means it's over right there. The end of a sermon happens. But watch me. Every eye on me, please. So now let me prophesy to you. What the Lord has sent me to tell you today is that worship is your most prized possession. That worship is the economy of which you must learn how to tap into its currency. That you must learn to not just be thankful and to be a praiser, but you must learn how to find your spirit because it's there. And if you're not careful, you can feed your flesh and your five senses so much that you numb your spirit. And you don't even know what it's like to feel after God until you can feel a connection. That's different. That's not just my five senses. I've tapped into something beautiful. I've tapped into worshiping in the Spirit. In that beautiful moment, it doesn't have to last long, but in that moment of worship, maybe it's the third song, but something happens. The service starts out like this. Everybody's looking at the stage. But by the time you go from thanksgiving to praise and into worship, it shifts. And now this is backstage. And now this is the stage. And the audience is God. And in those moments, as the priest in the Old Testament, it's just you and God. And in that moment, they decrease so that your moments with God increase. And in those 30 seconds, 90 seconds, heaven and earth kiss. And in that moment, worship. And when you worship, here's where I wanted to say to you. At that moment when the spirit of worship comes upon you is the time that you begin to prophesy. That's when you begin to pray. That's when you begin to proclaim God's word. This is when you take God's word and you activate it. This is when you begin to speak those things that are not as though they are. This is when you prophesy over your finances. You prophesy over your children. For the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus. And the testimony of Jesus is when we worship, we step into something. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 14, I would that you would all prophesy. Yes, speaking in tongues is good. Yes, all the other gifts are good. But I would that you would learn how to worship so that you could be awakened to the ability to proclaim God's word with an unction. For the Bible says that God's word was not written by men, but by holy men who are moved upon by the Holy Spirit. When you worship, that's when you need to speak the word. When you worship, that's when you can speak. And I like to say it this way. When you get into God's presence, that's when you begin to release the gift to prophesy to yourself over your circumstances. And I like to say it this way. Prophesy it. Until you can prophesy it. And when you can prophesy it, prophesy it. And then don't let go of it. Because everything God does on the earth, He does through the prophetic. In the Old Testament, He did nothing but first reveal it to the prophets. And then it would happen. In the New Testament, He does it through the gift of prophecy. Nothing will happen in your life until you prophesy it. And I'll teach that later. Lift your hands with me right now. Father, I pray that you would show us the power of worship. That you would give us a fresh understanding of worship. It's not just singing songs. It's not just reflecting on the past. Nor is it just honoring you for the present. But it takes us into that place, Lord, where you give us prophetic eyes to see, a prophetic mouth to speak, a prophetic spirit to seize, and to move us into the place that you have for us. Father, I speak financial blessings and favor is about the shift in several people's lives even today. Even now in these seconds that I'm squeezing out, I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to do the shift that happens in that prophetic realm. When in worship, we step into that place where things change, where things shift where doors open, where doors close. Father, I speak over addictions in people's lives. They've been to therapy. They've been to counseling. They've had many efforts to try to close those doors. But under the anointing of worship, the prophetic will shut the door that no man could ever open or close, including you. Do it, Lord. Do it. I thank you. I thank you. Father, those that are here today that have not given their lives to you, Lord, I pray today as the Holy Spirit has come upon them, even though they may not understand all the words, they understand the work of what you're doing by your Holy Spirit. We decree it and we declare it in Jesus' name. Now you lift your hands with me one more time. Say these words. Say, Lord, I am a worshiper. And when I worship, I testify of Jesus. And when I testify of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy comes upon me. And I begin to speak over my family, over my future, over my finances. And Lord, as I speak under that gift, Lord, your will is being done in earth as it is in heaven. Come on and give God praise today. God love you. I love you today. Woo! Woo!
Okay, thank you so much. I want to just share a quick testimony about worship. There's so many things in worship. I used to live in Newport Beach, and Pastor Drew was up here in La Puente, and our church was up here in El Monte, and so I would drive from Newport Beach up to El Monte a lot, because we were working in the ministry as well as going to church on Sunday and Wednesday. But what specifically sticks in my mind is the Sundays and the Wednesdays, especially the Wednesdays, I would be coming from work and trying to get up to church. And by the time I got from Newport Beach to El Monte with all the traffic, I really needed to just turn around and go home because I didn't have the right heart or mind or attitude to be in church. Do you understand that? I was just a mess, and I knew better. So I was so frustrated. And you know, when we do things that are not edifying to God, like my attitude was not, and my it was not, right? When we do that, we have a tendency to sometimes justify that. And I don't remember the exact moment. Isn't that funny how we try and forget those ugly details? But there was an ugly detail where something had happened, and I was like, maybe I snapped at someone or just, you know, had responded not right. Probably Pastor Drew. And so, and he was like, hey, or whatever. And then it was, oh, it's just the traffic. I'm just so frustrated because I've been sitting in 2.5 hours of traffic. You know what I mean? And so I remember I said, it just frustrates me so much because it's such a waste of my time. And immediately in that moment, the Holy Spirit said, it doesn't need to be a waste of time. And he said, I want you to begin to use that time wisely. Sometimes stuff is so obvious that we just don't get it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, this is not rocket science. I kind of knew better. But it wasn't until the Holy Spirit said, it doesn't have to be a waste of time. I said, what do you mean, Lord? And he said, you could worship me during that time. And I'm telling you, it changed everything. It changed everything. And so instead of sitting 2.5 hours trying to get from Newport Beach to El Monte and being a mess when I got to the end, I popped in some praise music, and it was a whole nother time when I arrived on the other end. It was good. So worship is powerful. Let's be wise with our time. Amen. And I just want to, Ida, thank you for your testimony. I heard that you had called and you wanted to just share. I didn't know any of the details. But it would be probably wrong to not just stop for a moment. And I don't know, because I didn't get a chance to talk to Yolanda, I don't know how it all went down, but here's what I do know. I began to share on Facebook Live, you know what, every time service begins now, I hit share. Why did I do that? Because a beautiful woman of God, my beautiful friend Stella, you are so wise. So I was having lunch with her out here one day, and she had been sick, but when she began watching Facebook Live at home because she wasn't about to miss service, being under the weather, and she shared it with her friends, and then she was tested. Now, Stella, I'm not going to ask how old you are, but you get senior citizen discount when you go places. I know that. So when she get her senior citizen discount, I'm sitting out here, and she teaches me something. I thought, well, that's genius. I'm going to start doing that. Many of her friends, because she hit share, all began to watch the service with Stella. And so I started doing that. And when I started doing that, you know what? I started encouraging you to do the same thing. And Ida, whether you're a piece of fruit from that or not, if she is, Yolanda's saying, Stella, you have some seed in the ground right there with your wisdom. We're so glad you're part of our church, Ida. So glad you found us. Yolanda, thank you for taking the encouragement and doing as your pastors encouraged you to do. And Stella, thank you for your wisdom. That's how it works. Amen. We all work together. All right.